You got me saying, you got me saying, how you doing? Tell me what's your name, what's your sign? Feeling like you're into me. Yeah, I'm waiting. I just want you to come on over where I'm staying.
Cedar and Bubblegum. Written by Sassy Blue. Read by SBL. Fandom, The Untamed. Relationship, Lenten, Lan Wenji, Wei Ying, Wei Wuxian. Rating, teen and up audiences. Summary. Lin Chen works at Build-A-Bear Workshop. Wei Ying works at Bath and Body Works. It's a mall love story for the ages. Are you kidding me? Mian Mian moans from the back room. Fuck! Her voice cuts through Lin Chen's semi-meditative state as he stands in front of the cache and stares at the chipped paint in the upper corner. It's a Thursday morning in the middle of October in a mall that should be demolished, because no one comes here to buy anything, and the entire building is falling apart. He blinks, takes in his surroundings again, and remembers it's Thursday. Shipment day. Not even surprised anymore, Mian Mian mutters, stuck into the front of the store. They sent us 5 boxes of soap. Fucking soap! He wrinkles his nose. Now their back room is going to smell like soap for the rest of the day. For the rest of the week, even. That sickly, sweet, near-metallic, absolutely horrendous soap. He can already feel the headache incoming. It's been like this as long as he's worked for Build-A-Bear Workshop. Every Thursday, shipment day, they're greeted with boxes addressed to BABW. The only problem is, half the time, these boxes are actually meant for Bath and Body Works. But of course, the delivery people don't look close enough to see that. Not that he blames them. He's sure they're paid just as badly as he is. But it's still very frustrating. Do you mind running them down? Mian Mian asks him. He frowns. Normally she jumps at the opportunity to do it herself. While the task itself is annoying, being allowed to leave the store while on the job is a welcome reprieve. And she's not nearly as sensitive to scents as Lin Chen seems to be. It's a winning arrangement.
I'll do it myself, but they hired this new guy,
Mian Mian explains, wincing.
And he is either really awkward or really creepy. I haven't figured it out yet, and I don't want to get arrested for murdering on the job.
Understood.
He can't take the boxes if he must, even if it's a guarantee he'll have a headache for the rest of the day. It's a much better alternative than Mian Mian committing murder, even if the person in question seems to deserve it.
I'll go.
Mian Mian relaxes visibly, her shoulders slumping, her face slackening. She pushes her bangs away from her forehead and sighs in relief.
You sure?
He nods.
Thanks,
she says with a grin. I'll man the counter till you get back. He nods again and heads to the back room to load up the offending boxes. Mian Mian has already opened all the boxes that were delivered today, so it's easy to spot the soap in the midst of all the teddy bear clothes. He pops a preemptive Advil before the soaps even have a chance to wreak their havoc, and stacks them onto their store's half-functioning dolly, securing them down with a bungee cord. He wheels the cursed thing to the front of the store, nods a Mian Mian salute, and pushes into the mall. There are a few people walking about the dilapidated hallways, but for the most part, the only sounds as Lin Chen heads down the hallway are his own footsteps, the screech of the dolly's half-stuck wheels, and the teeny mall sound system playing Love Talk by Wavy. He's not even a fan of popular music, but he recognizes the song because it seems that's all they play. And one day, he snapped and asked Mian Mian if she knew what it was. He catches himself humming along and scowls at no one. He's heard it far too many times at this point. It's entered his subconscious. The Bath & Body Works is on the other side of the mall, of course, so it takes him several repeats of the song to reach it. By the time he's come upon the too colorful display of scented candles, he's about ready to throw the broken dolly into oncoming traffic and watch all the bars of two sweet soaps smash against the road. How Mian Mian doesn't want to commit murder on the regular by making this trip astounds him. He takes a deep breath. He was not made for this sort of job. He's an artist. He should be spending his days composing music, not feasting smiles on his face while irritated parents yell at their children for building their bears the wrong way. And he shouldn't be pushing around a busted dolly to a Bath & Body store with far too many fragrances either. But he has to pay for college somehow. He's not about to accept his father's trust fund money. He can choke for all he cares. He breathes again and pushes his delivery into the store. The array of scents hits Len Chen all at once as he crosses the threshold, like running into a wall. Scents that should never mix together, like cedar and bubblegum, swirl around him. He wills himself not to sneeze. The young man at the counter jumps into action as soon as he notices him, throwing his phone into his pocket, which is highly unprofessional. Not that Len Chen should really be judging. He's just, ready to judge this man for anything if he's the awkward but maybe creepy person Mian Mian encountered. "Hey!" he calls, rushing over to him. "You from Build-A-Bear?" He nods, eyes drifting to the name tag pinned to his apron. He'll have to ask Mian Mian if this is the same person. He seems to be the only one working today, at least at the storefront. The tag just reads, "Sunshine Mimosa." Obviously not his real name. He must have forgotten his tag at home. Build-A-Bear has a similar policy. Once, Mian Mian had to go around with a name tag that read Paulette because she'd forgotten her real one at home. "Sorry about that," Sunshine Mimosa says, bending down to take the boxes from him. "I'll go and check we don't have any of your stuff."
"Thank you," he murmurs.
Sunshine Mimosa glances up at him and grins, and Len Chen's stomach does an unfortunate flip. If he's Mian Mian's awkward but maybe creepy person, he'll be... devastated isn't the right word, but he'll be... disappointed. The man is cute. His front teeth peek out from his smile like a rabbit, and his grin is wide and lopsided. And his hair, messy but long, twisted into a hasty braid. It's shining too, probably thanks to some miserable product in this cursed store.
"Are you new?"
this unfortunately cute man asks, raising an eyebrow.
"Never seen you before." So that's where the creepy comes in. Or could come in.
Len Chen doesn't feel particularly bothered by him, but he's also not a young woman who deals with public harassment, so his interpretation could be wrong.
"No,"
he says. The man blinks, like he's off-put by Len Chen's bluntness.
"Well, I guess they've never made you come up here, have they?"
"No."
Sunshine Mimosa stifles a laugh.
"That all you're gonna say?"
Len Chen doesn't bother to answer him. With a shrug, the young man takes the boxes, two at a time, and brings them to their back room. Len Chen tries to ignore the way his back muscles stretch against his tight black shirt as he scurries away with them, as though they were weightless. If he's the same person Mian Mian mentioned, it's such a waste of an attractive man.
"All right,"
the man yells as he emerges from the back room.
"Looks like we don't have any of your shit."
He grins and leans against a display of candles, propping his face up with one hand. "Will I ever see you again?" He rolls his eyes and picks up the empty, broken dolly. This is clearly the same person Mimi was talking about. No wonder she didn't want to come back. So, who was working? Yiming asks upon his return.
He had forgotten his name tag.
Oh? She raises her eyebrow, eyes alight, like she already knows who he's talking about.
What'd he look like?
Beautiful,
is what he wants to say.
Adorable, dangerous. Long hair,
is what he actually says.
Ha ha!
Mianmian says with a laugh.
That's probably Wei Ying.
Wei Ying. Not the awkward but maybe creepy person she'd met before. Wei Ying, who's loud and has a nice back and a grin that will ruin him. Wei Ying, who flirted with him in spite of Lan Chen's misplaced disdain.
Wei Ying.
The next Thursday morning, Lan Chen and Mianmian are once again working. Mianmian is once again sorting through the back room, and Lan Chen is once again staring at the crack in the wall, thinking about nothing. So, when he's wrenched from his relative peace by the sound of squeaking wheels and a piercing voice yelling his name, he's quite displeased.
Lan Chen!
Wayne says again as he blinks back to attention.
I was hoping to see you. Hi!
He stares at him blankly, altogether unprepared for this encounter. At least, when he had to go to Bath and Body Works, he had the whole walk there to prepare himself. Now, Wing has just infiltrated his workplace. His very thoughts. And he's too bright, too loud, too there. And he was hoping to see him. Hoping! Right, Wayne says with a laugh.
Sorry, I didn't introduce myself last time. I'm Wei Ying.
He nods, swallowing the sudden ache in his throat.
And I know you're Lan Chen because...
He gestures toward his apron.
Name tag.
He nods again. Wayne's mouth twitches into a small smile. It's so different from his easy grin last week. So... charming.
So,
Wayne says when the silence stretches a little too long.
I got some adorable bear clothes. Where should I put them?
I'll take them,
Mianmian says. When did she get here? Before Lan Chen can even begin to question it, she's grabbing the first box off the dolly and marching away with it.
She's so fast when she wants to be.
So,
Wayne says with a dangerous smile.
You work here every Thursday?
Depends.
Me too, Wayne says. Can't keep a regular schedule to save my life, though I've asked my managers enough times.
He rolls his eyes.
These people think your whole life is this fucking job, am I right?
He is right. Painfully right. See what he's already thought but never voiced to anyone. He knows he should be grateful he has a job at all, but the way upper management treats them sometimes. He absolutely can't stand it.
Yes, he agrees.
Wayne's smile spreads wider, emboldened by his affirmation.
I know it's hard to believe, but we have lives.
He lets out a long sigh and taps on the counter.
Anyway, sorry. There is my rant for the day. Gotta get at least one of them in there, otherwise who am I but a cog in the endless machine of capitalism?
His mouth twitches, and Wayne's eyes widen in delight.
Oh, there's a smile!
He freezes, attempting to feel his expression without being able to see it. He doesn't smile. He never smiles. How could he?
Oh, don't look at me like that, Lan Chen.
Wayne turns.
I won't point it out next time. I'll just enjoy it in silence, okay? What can he say to that?
Wayne opens his mouth to speak, just as Mianmian takes the final box. She's so fast and quick, Lan Chen didn't even notice her presence. All he could see was Wayne.
This could be a problem.
Well,
Wayne says brightly. Here's to another Thursday, huh?
Yes,
he manages to say. Goodbye, Lan-chan.
Goodbye, Wayne.
The name hangs heavily on his tongue, sweet and metallic, like the scents at Bath and Body Works. It's early Monday afternoon, and Build-A-Bear is predictably dead. Today, Lan-chan is working with Nihuai-sang for a change, though right now they're taking their break. Lan-chan is alone in the store with nothing to do but waste time. He doesn't stare at the crack in the wall like he normally does. Considering he's the only person working, he has to be somewhat aware of his surroundings. He's tracing swirling patterns into a piece of receipt paper when a familiar voice rings through the store.
Lan-chan!
It's Wei-ying, of course, and Lan-chan's heart does a silly little flip, it always does when he hears his voice. They've been at this for weeks, delivering mail to the appropriate BABW, slowly opening up about their interests and aspirations outside of work. And every time, Lan-chan can't stop that heart of his from reacting. Wei-ying is so Wei-ying, so everything. But today, he's not wearing his work apron. He's in regular clothes, ripped skinny jeans and a leather jacket with patches all over it, hair straightened and pulled into a neat ponytail instead of his usual messy one. He's even wearing eyeliner. And each of these elements alone would be enough to render him speechless. Each would be so much on any given day. But what really gives him pause is the fact Wei-ying is holding a child in his arms. A child who looks to be about 4 or 5, staring at him curiously.
We're here to build a bear, Wei-ying tells Lan-chan with a grin.
They don't look alike, really, but there's something about them that would suggest they're family, which could really mean anything. He always assumed Wei-ying was around his age, and that's far too young to have a child this age.
He must just have a lot of siblings. He must be an uncle.
Baba,
the child protests with a pout.
I want a rabbit.
Wei raises his eyebrows.
A rabbit! He repeats with a laugh. Do you do that here?
We have rabbits,
Lan-chan assures him, fighting to keep his face neutral. If Wei really is his age, he would have been a father at no more than 16. 16! He can scarcely imagine that, being suddenly thrust into a role with so much responsibility. No wonder Wei-ying is constantly angry at his management. Of course he wants more. Of course he deserves more. Wei-ying gives the child's cheek a little pinch.
Ah Yuan, listen to that. Lan-chan will help you build a rabbit. How about it?
Ah Yuan nods with a little smile as Wei-ying sets him on the floor. He leads them through all the steps to build a bear, or a rabbit, really, which is the one part of his job he actually enjoys. He likes seeing the faces of the children light up as their new toy slowly fills with stuffing from the machine. He likes watching their mouths scrunch up in contemplation as they pick the perfect outfit and accessories for their new friend. Overall, he just likes dealing with the children, period. They're far more appreciative than their parents. But Wei-ying isn't a problem parent, like some of the ones he's dealt with. Not that he ever thought he would be. Wei-ying simply stands back to let Ai Yuan pick what he wants. He watches with an amused smile as his son thinks deeply about whether to choose a white or a gray rabbit.
Ah, such an important decision, Wei-ying agrees sympathetically, crouching beside him.
What about your toys and mamas? Don't you already have a gray bear?
Ai Yuan shakes his head. Wayne's grin deepens.
Well, aren't we in a predicament? He exclaims. What should we do?
Get Gogo's pick.
Ayuan decides with a firm nod. Wing glances up at Lan Chan with widened eyes, smiling.
Hear that? The future rests on your shoulders, Lan Chan.
He decides they should get the gray one, mostly for practical reasons. A white rabbit will get dirty far quicker than a gray one. He helps Ayuan fill his new friend with stuffing, smiling at his delight as he watches it grow bigger and bigger. Ayuan picks a red bow tie to go around his rabbit's neck. And when it comes time to naming it, he very confidently names it Tintian. After my old cat, Wayne explains, while Lin Chen makes up the birth certificate. That's very nice of you, Ayuan. Tintian would like that you named someone after her. As he rings them up, he watches the total climb with every addition. He knows how much Wing is struggling from all their past conversations, how difficult it is to keep up with all his bills sometimes. He makes an impulsive decision. Wing squints at the total as he digs around for his wallet, chewing on his lip thoughtfully.
Thought it'd be more, honestly, he mutters.
Lan Chen's ears betray him. He's never been good at keeping secrets. Nothing, of course, gets past Wing, even as Lan Chen adjusts his hair to hide the tips of his ears as inconspicuously as he can. What? He asks with an amused grin. What did you do? He gulps and turns around the screen to show him. The employee discount code he'd entered is in bold letters at the bottom of the screen, above the total.
Lan Chen! Wing exclaims. You don't have to! I can pay.
He shakes his head firmly.
I never use it.
And then he adds one of Wing's own expressions to further drive his point home.
Manipulate the system.
Wing's whole face smiles as he pulls out his card.
Right on, Lan Chen. Screw these corporations.
If you ever need anything at Bath & Body Works, I got you covered. A few days later, on his day off, Lan Chen goes to Bath & Body Works and Wing sells him half a dozen sandalwood products he really doesn't need. It's all about manipulating the system, after all. Before, Wing was highly selective talking about his personal life. He was eager to talk about his interests, music, art, makeup. He was eager to talk about his political views. But he never talked about his life outside of Bath & Body Works. He never talked about his family, or friends, or significant others. But after he and Ayuan paid their visit to Build-A-Bear Workshop, it's like the floodgates open. Wing tells him everything and anything. Wing asks him for his number. Wing brings Ayuan by when Lan Chen is working. And Lan Chen can't stop smiling when the child clings to his legs as Wayne tells him they have to go.
That's how you know he likes you, Lan Chen, Wayne says with a laugh as he pries his son away.
If only it were so simple when it comes to Wayne. Clearly, he likes Lan Chen, as in he likes talking to him. He likes commiserating with him about the state of their jobs and the endless grind of paying bills. But he can't tell if he likes him. Truly. He learns Wing became a father at 16. That he dropped out of school to support the mother. The relationship didn't last much longer than the pregnancy, but Wing remained. They share custody, but live on opposite ends of the city. Wayne lives in a shoebox of an apartment and used to have a cat named Tintin who died peacefully of old age. Wayne likes rabbits. Wayne completed his high school diploma last year. Wayne wants to go to college. Wayne has a brother and sister whom he doesn't get to see often due to their strained relationship he has with their parents. Wayne was adopted. Lan Chen keeps all this information within him. An ever-growing list etched onto his heart.
I know I'm kind of a fuck-up, Wayne jokes one day as they stand over boxes of misdelivered scent of candles.
Once, Lan Chen would have judged someone for dropping out of high school, for becoming a young parent, for not pursuing higher education. But Wayne is so real, so good, so warm. Why should the circumstances of his life matter?
You are not,
Lan Chen says, meaning his eyes.
Wayne flinches and quickly grabs a box.
Lan Chen tells Wayne about his parents. He tells him about his late mother and her love of music. He tells him about the father he refuses to see. He talks about his uncle who raised him and can't afford to put both himself and his brother through college. And Wayne asks to hear his music. Wayne asks so many questions about his music. Lan Chen invites him to his place to listen. He's a black blot of ink against Lan Chen's white carpet. Lan Chen sits beside him on the floor, Guqin in his lap, and plays some of his solo pieces. Wayne sits close enough Lan Chen smells vanilla and cedar and bubblegum all at the same time. He sits far too close, and if he were anyone but Wayne, Lan Chen would hate it. But as his fingers brush against the strings, he has to bite his lip to stop himself from pleading.
Closer, always closer, please.
He later learns the vanilla is his shampoo, the cedar is his deodorant, and the bubblegum is his moisturizer. Why he can't just buy the same scent for every product confounds him. And when he tells him so, Wayne just laughs and tells him he's no fun. He wonders if his apartment is as confusing to smell as Wayne is himself. He imagines it would be. Wayne is a combination of so many things that sometimes don't make sense. But together, they make Wayne. And Wayne makes sense. The only thing he can't make sense of are his feelings. When Wayne leaves Bath and Body Works 10 months later, after endless Thursday mail runs and late-night conversations, he asked Lan Chen to celebrate with him. In his small, confusing-smelling apartment, Wayne persuades him to dance to his favorite songs. They stand too close and bump noses, and Lan Chen can only stare at him. Because even though he has his number, even though they're still friends, something is coming to an end. No more work visits while on the job. No more annoying mail runs. No more running into each other during their breaks. Wayne will exist in a separate plane from him. What if they fade? I'm sorry, Wayne says as he guides Lan Chen's hips to the beat of an old slow song. I kept you waiting. And before he can ask, Wayne is kissing him. And it's everything he could ever imagine. He tastes like lemon and he smells like vanilla cedar bubblegum. And his hands grip his hips like they were meant to hold them. I thought, Wayne whispers, touching his forehead to Lan Chen's. His voice a low murmur over the thundering of Lan Chen's heart. If things went badly, it'd be so awkward at work. So,
I understand,
he whispers back. He almost prefers it like this, the way the two of them slowly opened and intertwined. The way he knows everything about him. Nothing could ever change his mind now. No secret would be too great. He smooths back Wayne's hair and braids him in. The end. I love the way you're talking to me.